Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 9. Na yater ashrama prayo dharma hetor mahatmanaha santasya samachitasya bibhriyad uta va tyajat nayater ashrama prayo dharma hetor mahatmanaha santasya samachitasya bibrihad utava jajat nayater ashrama prayo dharma hetor mahatmanaha santasya samachitasya bibriyad utavatya jat nayater ashrama prayo dharma hetur mahatmanaha santasya samachitasya bibriyad utavatya jat. Nayate ashrama prayo. Dharma hetor mahatmanaha santasya samachitasya bibhriyad utavachaje nayate ashrama prayo na, not, yate, of the sannyasi, ashrama, the symbolic dress, with danda and kamandalu, praya, almost always, dharma hetu, the cause of advancement in spiritual life, mahatmanaha, who was factually exalted and advanced. Santasya, who is peaceful. Samachitasya, who has attained the stage of being equipoised. Bibhriyat, one may accept such symbolic signs. Uta, indeed, va, Or tyajet, one may give up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. A peaceful, equipoised person who is factually advanced in spiritual consciousness does not need to accept the symbols of a sannyasi, such as the tridanda and kamandalu. According to necessity, he may sometimes accept those symbols and sometimes reject them. Purport. There are four stages of the renounced order of life: Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. Herein, Srimad Bhagavatam considers the Paramahamsas among the sannyasis. The Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis cannot attain the Paramahamsa stage. This is because of their impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Savyate. The Absolute Truth is perceived in three stages, of which Bhagavan, or realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is meant for the Paramahamsas. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is meant for the Paramahamsas. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Unless one is in the Paramahamsa stage, he is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. For Paramahamsas or sannyasis in the Vaishnava order, preaching is the first duty. To preach, such sannyasis may accept the symbols of sannyas, such as the danda and kamandalu, or sometimes they may not. Generally, the Vaishnava sannyasis, being Paramahamsas, are automatically called babajis, and they do not carry a kamandalu or danda. Such a sannyasi is free to accept or reject the marks of sannyas. His only thought is, where is there an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness? Sometimes the Krishna consciousness movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and kamandalu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophy. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We may do this in the dress of a sannyasi or in the regular dress of gentlemen. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanata Manandasya Giranjana Salakya Chaksurum Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krota Vachalam Pangun Langhayate Grim Yat Kripataraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarnam Vanchakapatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age of Kali, one of the things that one should not do is take sannyas. Because sannyas is a very difficult ashram, as we've had experience in our society. But Srila Prabhupada was giving people sannyas in their early 20s. Even, I think there was one initiated into sannyas, he was 19. Why? Because it was an emergency. In this age, people are very degraded, absorbed in sense gratification, not knowing what is the goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave sannyas to many very young devotees, and many of them are still sannyasis also, doing amazing service, preaching. So, but it's not necessary to formally take sannyas, but what is necessary for all of us is to take sannyas internally. We have to renounce our material desires and the idea that anything is ours. Everything belongs to Krishna. And the more we're able to understand this, that we're actually the soul within, we're part and parcel of Krishna, and that our only real desire should be to serve Krishna, then we'll advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti purushana bhava virakti anyata chaisa tuke ekakala papadyamanas nasnastus tusti pusti sunagaya nagasa. That devotion to Krishna, direct experience of Krishna, and detachment from material life simultaneously take place in someone who takes shelter of Krishna. Just as when we eat, we experience pleasure, we get nourishment, and eventually we're satisfied. So this is the result of taking shelter of Krishna. We become fully satisfied. And this is mentioned here in this verse, that a devotee is peaceful, satisfied, because he has Krishna. You know, people are very frustrated in the material world because they're thinking that if I have this and I have that, and I get this and I get that, then I'll be satisfied. But nothing brings satisfaction in this material world. And therefore, there's a very famous song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And it was sung with great gusto. Can't get no satisfaction. So we can't get full satisfaction in this material world. But we can get inner satisfaction. Like I was distributing books yesterday at Fullerton College, and I was explaining to one student that everyone is trying to get happiness, but real happiness is internal happiness, spiritual happiness. This is the real satisfaction that we're searching for. Spiritual happiness, this material pleasure, this is all, it's just chapalasukha, this flickering happiness. It's like you may have a nice dish of sweet rice, very tasty dish of sweet rice. But if there's sand in it, very distasteful. It may be very tasty. And we've all had very tasty sweet rice. But if there's some sand in it, it's useless. Just spit it out practically. So that's the nature of happiness in this world. There's a little pleasure, but there's sand in it. So it doesn't give real pleasure. The frustration, therefore everybody's frustrated. Yeah. Or Vidyapati, he says that the happiness in this world is just like a drop. Everybody wants unlimited happiness. This is going to increase. Isn't everybody wants this? But no. It comes to the certain point and then it decreases. Yehi samasparsa jabhoga dukkayonaya evate ajantavantakonte natesurumate vada. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the senses, with this material senses. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and a wise person, he does not take delight in them. So that's the nature of all this material enjoyment. So what we're doing in this process of Krishna consciousness is we're getting cleansed of our material contamination. Just like this morning we heard that the best way to control the mind, anybody remember? Chant Hare Krishna, yes. The best way to control the mind. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha devagni nirapanam. This is how to cleanse the heart, how to cleanse the mind by chanting Hare Krishna. This is designed for this age of Kali, for purification. Krishna is the supreme neurosurgeon. He cleanses the mind. If we just think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then the mind gets cleansed. It's dirty now. It's been dirty a long time. So each time we chant, we're getting cleansed. We're getting more cleansed. And eventually, we'll be completely cleansed. Krishna's also a heart surgeon. He's the supreme heart surgeon. So many material desires in the heart. You know, just like when someone has a heart attack, what's the problem? The arteries are blocked, generally. Right? So our heart is also blocked because of Maya. Maya has blocked up our heart. But as we continue chanting Hare Krishna, then we become cleansed of Maya. Yeah. And then we can, again, serve Krishna nicely. This is the joy of the soul, to serve Krishna. We have to serve someone. Nobody's an island. We have to have some company. We have to serve somebody. So the best service is to serve Krishna, to serve Krishna's devotees. Just like I was reading in Krishna book recently. When Krishna entered Mathura, he was seeing different personalities. One of them was sewing cloth, I guess. And Krishna said, you know, we would like to have this cloth that you have. Can you give it to us? No, these are the king's clothes. Who do you think you are? You can't ask for the king's clothes. People like you are killed. Your property is taken away from you and killed, you fools. Go away from here. Krishna didn't like that response too much. So Krishna gave the original karate chop. And he lost his head. Mercy, also, he gets liberated. Then he went to another one, and he was a garland maker. Sudama, the garland maker. And this garland maker, he had a different attitude. He was very pure. And he was so happy to see Krishna. And he was offering prayers, and he was just so humble. So wonderful attitude. So Krishna offered him any desire, whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want, any benediction. Now imagine that. You know. God himself, Krishna, says, whatever you want, I'll give you whatever you want. So what did Sudama pray for? Unmotivated, uninterrupted, unshakable devotion to you. Friendship with your devotees. And compassion for all living entities. And when I read that, I was thinking, wow, that's the perfect prayer. That covers everything. Because we all want devotion to Krishna as aspiring devotees. We want this. And we also want friendship with devotees. Very important. If we don't have friendship with devotees, then Krishna's not going to be pleased. And compassion. Krishna is also very compassionate. Therefore, he comes. And he sends his devotees in so many ways. He exhibits his compassion. So the more we connect to Krishna, then we also develop this compassion. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he's exhibiting his compassion. That it's so important that devotees preach the message. In the last sentence, he says, our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. Because people, they're in ignorance. They don't know, have no idea what is the goal of life. They think that the goal of life is to engage in sense gratification. And therefore, sometimes you see this slogan, just do it. Now, we all know what that means, right? Just go out and be an animal. Just do it. Have all the sex you can have and just go for it. Just do it. Don't be mental. Don't be on the mental platform. Just do it. Such rascals. But I just heard a very nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Canada, Toronto temple there. And he had just given class and he was leaving. And devotees were all in awe of Srila Prabhupada. And there was one Indian gentleman there. And he had been chanting Hare Krishna, 16 rounds, I think, for a couple of years. Nice gentleman. So Srila Prabhupada, he stood in front of him as he was leaving. He said, "Are you chanting 16 rounds?" And the gentleman, he said, "Well, I try, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada had his cane. And he put his cane on his chest. And he slowly was pushing him back up until he was up against the wall. And Prabhupada said, "Don't try, just do it." So now, whenever we see that slogan, "just do it," you can think of Prabhupada instead of all their nonsense. Just do it. Just chant your 16 rounds. And if we do that, Prabhupada said, you chant 16 rounds, and you follow the four rigor principles, and you'll go back to Godhead. Why did he say that? Because we'll get purified by this chanting. And we can't go back to Godhead unless we're purified. There's a customs department there, you know, before we enter the spiritual world. And they check. And they're very good. You know? They know each and every little speck of desire we may have. There's one rule. When a cell phone goes off during class, you have to go out and sell the Bhagavad Gita. So... So, we have to take shelter of Krishna. In this way, see, he's going to go out right now and sell the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? So, Krishna, he wants us to get purified. He wants us to go back to Godhead. More than we want. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that if for every step you take towards Krishna, he's taking 10 towards you. So he wants us to get purified. He knows that this is how we'll be satisfied. And therefore he gives us so much information to attract us back to Godhead. Such wonderful books. Yesterday I was distributing books at this college, and I gave a Bhagavad Gita to one student, and he was very enthusiastic to read Prabhupada's books. And he asked me about meditation, so I told him that the best meditation is to chant Hare Krishna. So we chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. So I was preaching to him for about 15 minutes or so. And then he went to class, and he came back, and he said, "You know, I've been reading this book. This book is great. And I've been chanting Hare Krishna also. This mantra is also very nice." Yeah. So people are appreciating Prabhupada's books. And then about an hour later, I was distributing, and one student came up. I called him over. And he was also interested. He was very interested, but he just couldn't go that extra, you know, inch or whatever to get the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Nah, it's interesting, but I don't think I'll take it." And I was just thinking, wow, what could have I said? Yeah. And he was standing about maybe 15 feet away still. He was doing some texting. And then Krishna revealed to me, I forgot to say one thing to him. So I called him over. Hey, Gabi. His name was Gabi. Gabi, come over. Hey, what's up? You know, the reason I called you over is because you have good energy. Do you know that? You got good energy. That's why I called you over. He said, really? I said, yeah, you got good energy, man. You should take this book, because this book is filled with good energy. And you got good energy. It's a good match, you know? All right, I'll take it. So he took the Bhagavad Gita. And I was thinking that it's true, because the super soul is there. Can't get better energy than that, right? The soul is there. The super soul is there. What great energy. It's a common thing that I say to people when I distribute. You got good energy. Everybody likes that, you know. So, now unfortunately there's so much bad energy in people. Maya. Clogging the heart. So we have to get this good energy out to the people. And then they could be satisfied. Then they could understand what is real happiness, not this Maya Sukaya, this illusory happiness. We want to give them the real thing. You know? Coke is not the real thing. You know? Krishna is the real thing. And this is the blessing of Srila Prabhupada, that he's given us this valuable information to help us become elevated in our spiritual life. And one way to show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada is to also try to help others get this knowledge. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is the only lack in society, is Krishna consciousness. And his spiritual master, it's amazing that his spiritual master, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he told his disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Don't go to Calcutta. Because it's hell. It's all interested in sense gratification. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was willing to go to hell, to Calcutta, to preach, because he understood the real interests of Krishna. Of course, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he also understood. But he didn't want his disciple to waste time, just like Krishna also, he says, don't preach this message of Bhagavad Gita to those who are not devoted, who are not austere. Who are not austere, who are not engaged in devotional service. I mean, who in this world is engaged in devotional service, who is austere, who is devoted to Krishna? Practically nobody. But still we're going out. Right? So Krishna said the same thing. But Prabhupada says in one purport, I think it's in 329, he says that the pure devotee knows the inner interests of Krishna. So therefore he'll even go out to help the conditioned souls who are not interested to take the books. Yeah. Because in the purport there also Prabhupada says that Krishna does not want to see his devotees waste time. This is the reason Krishna says that. Krishna is so kind. And see how kind Krishna is. He doesn't want his devotee to waste time because a lot of people are just not interested. It's like one of the main things that we book distributors hear on book distribution is, I'm good. That's what we hear. More than anything else. I'm good. I'm okay. Of course, little do they know. They're not good. We're not good. We're trying to become good. You could be better. But you could be better. And they always say, yeah, good one, good one. So they can be better, and we can be better. And the quickest way for us to become better is to help others become better. It's not easy, but it's happening. People are appreciating this knowledge all over the world. So, if you continue, if you want to stay in this material world and enjoy society, friendship, and love, then don't go out on book distribution. Don't read Prabhupada's books. Because if you do, you're going to lose attraction to this material world. Just like Rupa Goswami says, if you want to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to the bank of the Jamuna. Don't go and hear Krishna playing the flute, that beautiful three-curved form of Krishna, because you'll give up all desire for this material world. So this is also the result of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, of engaging in devotional service, and distributing books. There's many devotees now, believe it or not, that have been distributing books now for 4 decades. So why is that? Because they're getting some nectar. Naham tasthami Vaikunthe yoginam hridyeshuva. It's stated that I am not in Vaikuntha. I am not in the hearts of the yogis. Krishna says, I am wherever my devotees are going out and spreading my glories. So when you go on book distribution, you're going out with Krishna. All day long, you're with Krishna. It's ecstatic. Yeah? Harinam also, Krishna's there. So we have to go out and give people this mercy. So much mercy is being given. The holy name, the instructions of Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kuru Krishna Siksha. This was the mantra that Lord Nityananda was chanting door to door with Haridas Thakur. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Follow the instructions of Krishna. And this will help you become happy. So this is what we're trying to follow. Trying to follow in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur. Getting the mercy out. So is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. I think there's a microphone. Which one?
When they say, I'm good, you say, but you could be better. Now, today's purport deals with something that's very current in our society. It's business of dress. We know there's this discussion going on. Why can't we just dress like Westerners? We're in Western society. Why do we have to stand out? So Prabhupada clearly says here, you don't have to. If you don't feel comfortable or the circumstances don't allow wearing Vaishnava clothes, but what is your purpose? That's the main thing. If you're going out in Western clothes to preach, that's fine. That's fine. Even in London once, devotees were going to, I think they were going out to have a meeting with some government officials. Prabhupada had this discussion about how to dress. That's when he said that famous statement, first dress, then address. Because one devotee was going out in a nice suit and other devotees were looking proper. So, yeah, this is okay. First dress, then address. But he said there should be tilak and flag. You know, your sikha should be there. So I said when this...
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting that the first time Srila Prabhupada went back to India after being in America, he went with one disciple. And they went to Vrindavan. And the dress that Prabhupada had this devotee wear in Vrindavan was a 3-piece wool suit. Kirtananda Prabhu. Because Prabhupada liked that his disciples looked like gentlemen. He liked that. And there's a letter Prabhupada wrote that to where dhoti and kurta in your society may appear a little unusual. So if you want to wear Western dress, that's perfectly okay. So, you know, we're trying to attract people. So sometimes people think our dress is a little unusual. And it is. There's one student in U of F, University of Florida. And he was very favorable to us. And he said, you know, the kurtas are nice. They're kind of cool. But the dhotis, a little unusual. So either way, though, dhoti or kurta, sorry. Yeah. However one feels comfortable. But yeah, the important thing is that we go out. That's the important thing. That we address the people. Whether we wear Western or Eastern dress, that we go out and try to give this mercy to Krishna, of Krishna to them. Yes. Is it working? You have it working now? Oh, there you go. Sati Tanoi, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a comment at first that you were mentioning about the importance of going out. And I just heard that our devotee, Ganesh, who was in charge of the Harinam party, it's I think he's finding a new job or something that might not give the facility to go out. So we have to carry on with the Harinam Sankirtan. And maybe devotees who have free time, please come and let's keep going. Because my experience is that I do book distribution. But when I do Harinam, I can see that many favorable people are there. They're ripe already. You don't have to look for them. They're looking at you. They're listening to the holy name. All you have to do is just go and talk to them. It's not as difficult as, you know, like when we go individually meet people and they don't even know who you are if you're dressed like in plain clothes. Mm. But when you're a devotee and you're chanting the holy name, many people are attracted. And I would request that some devotees please find time.
Yeah, it stopped working.
Books when we do Harinam. Mm-hmm. In fact, the people are already, they know who you are. And so that was the second. I have a.
I couldn't understand very much this. Maybe you can make it clear for me. The example that you gave about the washing men and the gardener, the Christian men. One was faithful, the other one was faithful, and even made nice prayers. And I was thinking, well, it's obvious because he knows his God. If you know that God is there, you know, you'll do your best. So what was the example there that you're trying to convey? What was the teaching in that?
Well, what I was... Well, the reason I brought it up was the prayer that was given by Sudama, because he had that a different attitude. He had a devotional attitude, so he had that. Krishna asked him, because he was so devotional, Krishna asked him, whatever you want, I'll give you whatever you want. And the response of that was that he offered that beautiful prayer. I just want devotion to you, and I want, you know, friendship with the devotees, and I want compassion for all the benignities. So I was the reason I brought that up was just I was just impressed with that prayer, you know, because of that devotion. Yes.
Can you explain this statement that only Paramahansa can understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Isn't it purport?
Only a Paramahansa can understand the Srimad Prabhupada said that in there?
Isn't a purport?
Well, yeah. I mean, to fully understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, I mean, I haven't. Anybody here understood fully the Srimad Bhagavatam? I mean, we could all honestly say that Prabhupada has understood it. He's a Paramahansa, but to fully understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yes, Prabhu.
I always wondered, what's the point of a sannyasi even carrying a danda?
What's the point of wearing carrying a danda? Well, the idea is that the danda, it represents, there's three sticks there, body, mind, and words, utilizing our mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. So that represents the danda. The Mayavadis, they have one stick, which they believe in one. You know? So, at least in India, of course, like Prabhupada said here, it's not so much respected. You know, people don't know what sannyas is. But in India, someone sees a danda, they know he's in the renounced order of life. Sannyas, you know, he's got the saffron, he's got the danda. He's a sannyasi. So they offer respects to him. So they get some advancement from that. Just like Lord Chaitanya, the reason he took sannyas was because people were disrespecting him when he was wearing white. So then he took sannyas, and then they were more respectful, and then they got more mercy because everybody respects a sannyasi, at least in India. I don't know if that's going down now. It probably is. A lot of people don't know what a sannyasi is now, probably, in India. But this is the reason there's sannyas, the danda, and the saffron, and the whole thing, so that people can respect them and receive knowledge from them. If there's respect, then it's easier for them to receive knowledge from them. Bhrigupati Prabhu? Oh, the mic's not working. Go ahead. I'll repeat it for the internet. Bhrigupati has asked me to say what I say from beginning to end when I distribute a Bhagavad Gita. Well, you know, we're all so used to seeing this changing bodies. We've all seen some of us a million times, but when you show people the first time, sometimes they're like, wow. So I show that. You know, cycle of life. And then I show them the modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. Yeah. I show them, see, this is goodness, passion, ignorance. Everyone's moved. Everyone's controlled by these different modes. And sometimes I engage them also. Which one are you in, goodness, passion, or ignorance? Mostly they say passion, mostly. Honest. And then I show them the five senses. This is my favorite. Many of you know. Now the tongue, the sight, the five senses are like the senses. And the reins is the mind, the driver is the intelligence, the chariot is the body, and the passenger is the soul. They love this one. People buy the book just for that picture many times. There was even one instance I distributed a book to a student, and I went back there a year later, same school, and he came up to me and he said, you know that book you gave me, and they have that picture, the five horses and the senses? I cut that out, and I put it right next to my bed. I pasted it next to my bed, so that when I wake up in the morning, I understand this is the situation. People love that picture. So then I show them the karma, what goes around, comes around, the cow and the human being. I tell them this teaches the art of inner happiness, higher consciousness, and inner peace. And I'm a monk. We help a lot of people and print books, and we just ask for a donation for the printing. And then if they don't take immediately, then I tell them, you know, one wise man once said, if you don't learn something new every day about life, you waste that day. And this book you're holding, it's all about life. It's a good thing to have throughout your life. So sometimes they say, oh, okay, all right, I'll take it. There's, you know, different things. I can't tell you everything. But got good energy. That's a good one. Remember that one. That's a good one. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Just because Sudama was